Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Kings of Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Pablo, and this is my co-host, Leo. This week, we are going to discuss NFL free agency signings. Last week, we focused on the running backs. Now, this week, we are going to focus on wide receivers. So, this is going to be more of a first take style for our listeners. So we're gonna go through our list, and then we're just gonna debate and see if, if any of our rankings are different. So we'll go ahead and get started. So number five. For number five, I have Curtis Samuel. Leo, who do you have?
Well, it's not going to be much of a debate because I also have Curtis Samuel, so I have five.
Okay, well, even if it's not a debate, we can still discuss why. So from my perspective, I think he's going to Buffalo. He's getting major upgrade in quarterback and Josh Allen, who was the number one fantasy quarterback last year. And I think just because of that, he's going to get drafted higher than when he was in Washington. What else do you think?
Yeah, no, definitely a major upgrade there. Just even though Sam Howell, was a gunslinger, Josh Allen is just way better. He's in another level, all world quarterback. He has a right now, he hasn't been traded yet, but Stephon Diggs has been, whining, a little bit. But if he does stay there, he'll be a great complement to Curtis Samuel. They can, they're obviously they're going to continue focusing on trying to stop Stephon Diggs, but if they, if they do that, Curtis Samuel is probably the best receiver that Stephon Diggs is has been complimented since he's been in with the Bills. So I think it's a major upgrade there for sure. And Curtis Samuel can also be used as a running back as well, because he's, when he was in college, he played both. So I think it's a great move for them.
Yeah, and let's not forget, Gabe Davis is no longer there. So now you have Samuel who's potentially in that number two role. That's why we both have number five. Hopefully there's more of a debate on this next person. So I have Ridley four. Who do you have?
Fourth, I have Deontay Johnson.
Okay, so really big difference. So, instead of me going first, I'll let you go first. So
All right,
why is Deontay four?
so I got Deontay four. I think that, he's gonna have a great opportunity for Bryce Young. Bryce Young needed some talent around him. His best receiver last year was Adam Thielen. He's not what he used to be when he was with Minnesota when he was younger. So it's a major upgrade for Young to get a receiver of Deontay Johnson's caliber. He was a little, inconsistent this year, but I could blame that more on like the quarterback play within for the last couple of years with the Steelers. They kind of had like a turnstile quarterback situation there between Trubisky, Randolph, even Pickett. So it was just whoever was healthy. So I think that's it's a upgrade for him, going to with Young, and yeah, I think he's going to be the focal point of the offense. You're going to get a lot of targets there with Young.
All right. So the reason I chose Ridley number four was honestly because of the contract they gave him. I don't think that you're going to give Ridley that money and not make him an important player of that Titans offense. You lost Derrick Henry. We all know that Hopkins is getting up there in age. Even though I know a lot of fantasy owners right now are probably going to chew me out because where he got drafted last year, they thought that was going to be the breakout year with Trevor Lawrence. But I think again, if you're gonna pay Calvin Ridley the money, you're hoping that you're gonna use him. You're hoping that he's going to produce. So I like Calvin Ridley a lot more than Deontay Johnson. I don't think Deontay Johnson has the skills that Ridley does, even though I know Ridley missed a lot of big plays last year. But I think, in hopefully his career resurgence should happen in Tennessee. So that's what I have him for.
Okay, fair
All right.
enough.
So number three, hopefully we don't match, but I have Evans. Mike Evans, number three.
Okay. For my
Yeah.
number three, I have Calvin Ridley there. And
Okay.
three.
All right. So
This one's spot, but
I'll go first this time.
yeah.
So I think, man, to everyone that had Mike Evans last year, was probably one of the most happiest fantasy owners all of last year, because at least in my drafts that he was going maybe round 10 plus last year. Average, I don't know what his average is, but I would say from the seventh forward is probably where Mike Evans was getting drafted last year. And the production that he had, he was getting maybe a touchdown every other game. He was getting a lot of targets. I mean, I think Baker Mayfield and him had a really good connection. I know
Yeah.
when I would play against him, he would always have good points against me. So they're re-signing him with a curtain call. I mean, he's had 9 straight years, 1,000 yards. So the money that he got was a lot for him. And again, you're not giving him that contract and Baker Mayfield that contract if that's not connection's not going to keep up. So I think for that reason, he's my number three.
Yeah, no, he's a top-notch receiver, without a doubt, with Baltimore, with Buccaneers. Sorry, so I went with Calvin Ridley, just a spot ahead where you had him. Like you said, he does have a lot. He did get paid, so they're gonna use him. Will Levis is a young up-and-coming rookie. When he was on there, he was a little bit inconsistent, but I think now a year under his belt, off season completely with a full off season as being the starter with not only does is really there, but DeAndre Hopkins is there, Treylon Burks is there, Okonowo, the tight end is there, so they have a lot of weapons to go around. So it might be tough to focus on double teaming Calvin Ridley, even though he's gonna probably be the most targeted there, because you have DeAndre on the other side, and even though he's older, DeAndre still can play, with the as he showed last year with a couple breakout games, when he was targeted. So that's why I have Calvin Ridley ahead, one more spot than you then.
Now let's take some time, just because I know this to me has always been interesting from a fantasy perspective of when, in my opinion, when you have so many mouths to feed, I think, the point of you trying to draft someone, having them on your roster is because you expect them to be productive every week. I'm way more confident in saying that about Mike Evans than I am about Calvin Ridley. Out of all the names you just mentioned, they have a good tight end. They have Hopkins, who, even though he's gotten up in years, he's coming off of a major injury. He was able to produce. And to be realistic, besides the running back in Buccaneers, which, if I'm mistaken, was Rashad White, I mean, who else do they have to throw to? So, again, I think unless you're unless you're the Detroit Lions, who somehow manage to feed all their top playmakers.
Right.
Again, you know, how do you do that? You know, how do you justify, you know, drafting someone like, you know, Ridley over Evans? But this is why we're debating. This is why it's, you know, it's very early.
Sure.
But what do you think? You know, as a fantasy manager who's done this a lot longer, like, how do you approach that with offenses that have a lot of top offensive players?
Yeah, sometimes it's tough to gauge who's the one that's gonna be, you know, the one that's gonna get targeted the most. Depending on ADP, you know, sometimes they might, like, when someone gets signed like Calvin Ridley does, sometimes their average draft position rises to a certain point that you kind of have to debate a little bit. Man, should I get him or get someone else? And then you can draft Mike Evans like a round or two later, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, you know, you always have to analyze where people are being drafted. That helps. And sometimes you just want to, you know, let other people get those players, and then you get the cheapest one. You know, I can, you guys can draft Calvin Ridley in the second, third round, but look, I can get DeAndre Hopkins three or four rounds later, and he could probably produce just the same, you know?
So to all of our listeners who don't know what average draft position is or ADP, so that is, out of all the drafts that happen, you know, across the board, on average, where is this player getting drafted? So last year, with these two players, we had Calvin Ridley being drafted really high. And I would say really high because, at least in my drafts, he was going, you know, top three, top five rounds.
Yeah.
Mike Evans wasn't even being looked at in those rounds last year. And this is just my prediction. I think it's going to flip-flop. I think this year it'll be opposite, where Mike Evans will get looked at earlier versus I'm really getting looked at later. And like Leo was saying, is you're going to have that internal debate. Do you draft these players where they produced last year? Because we all know, fantasy, not every year is going to be the same. But I just wanted to take a few minutes to discuss that, just because, again, when you have all these different playmakers on offense, it's hard to have everyone have production. But again, I just wanted to spend some time on that. So, I have Michael Pittman. Who do you have?
I have Marquise Brown at two.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and keep the train rolling. So I'll go ahead and go first again. So the reason I have Michael Pittman number two is his youth, along with his big playmaking ability. And the big question mark is, can his rookie quarterback stay healthy? I think if Anthony Richardson can stay healthy throughout the season, I think that's definitely going to improve Michael Pittman's production. Last year, his quarterback, I'm not saying was terrible, but obviously it's no Anthony Richardson. I think Anthony Richardson was having a very, very bright season, not only in the NFL, but also fantasy-wise. I know some people were really excited about him, and then, of course, his injury kind of derailed all of that. So I think Pittman, because he's staying there, he should be the number one. He should not have anybody to compete with him for that number one spot. And again, I just think his youth, his big playmaking ability, is more than enough, with at least with the free agency signings for wide receiver, should give him that number two spot. So that's why I have on number two. So why do you have Marquise Brown? I think that is very interesting. I don't know if I would have ever guessed Brown in the top five list.
Yeah, right. Well, I was mainly focusing on my top five. I was mainly focusing on players that actually that changed teams. So that's why, like to me, Evans and Pittman, they're gonna be, we kind of know what they're gonna do there. They're still in the same team, with the, obviously Richards is gonna come back, but that's why my list might, is a little bit, different than yours, because I did want to focus on where people, where players changed. Marquise Brown, whenever he's healthy, he's like his cousin Antonio Brown. He's a playmaker. So finally, well, I want to say finally, he did have Kyler Murray, but he's gonna play with an offense with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid calling plays. So I'm super excited on what he can do there. There is Rashee Rice that he had, as a rookie. He had a pretty phenomenal year as a rookie. But I think Marquise Brown has a chance to be like Tyreek Hill Jr. Like, he's fast. They're gonna design plays for him in open field, and I think you're gonna see his ADP rise very, very much as the year progresses.
Now, interesting that you say that because as soon as you told me what team, because I honestly forgot that he got signed by the Chiefs, do you think he's going to fill that MVS role who just got, released, Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
Yeah,
Do you think he's going to take like the Hardman role? Where do you think he's going to fit into that offense?
I think he's gonna take both their roles, because he, yeah, those guys are, they're so inconsistent to me. Like it's gonna be a super, super deep league for me ever to consider drafting those guys, and to begin with, even with that offense, like who has the, can predict, okay, yeah, this is the week that MVS is gonna have a good game, to me, Marquise Brown is gonna be a consistent at least wide receiver three at least, in this offense, so and with, he can go deep, he can do different routes. So like I said, I think they're gonna put him in different positions, and along the offense, and he's gonna produce very well. I think, I have confidence in Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
So I actually disagree. You say wide receiver three. I think he's going to be a wide receiver two because
Yeah,
besides
that's why I said
Chris
at
Evans.
least. Yeah, at the very least,
Okay.
it should be more, but
Bless my wife.
God bless you.
So okay. At least a wide receiver three. He is getting an upgrade. I'm not saying like you said that Kyler Murray was bad in Arizona, but having the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs as your new team, like you said, you have Andy Reid, you have great playmakers on offense.
The rich get richer.
I might tend to agree with you. I like that your list is focusing on the players that went to new teams. But realistically, I mean,
The guys you mentioned, they were free agents too. They signed. I just didn't think of it that way. I was thinking more of a, just of teams, of players that changed, changed teams, But they're
yeah,
both,
I think
they're all free
that.
agents, though.
No, yeah, but I think
So.
his average draft position, if it does not go up, I will be really surprised, to say
Yeah,
the least.
for sure.
All right. So, last but not least, so our number one. So let's see if it was different. So mine, to me, is T. Higgins staying in Cincinnati. What about yours?
Well, like I said, I'm gonna go with Keenan Allen. There's no quarterback there, but the one that's coming in late April, Caleb, the rookie, I think, is gonna have an awesome offense to go off. He has, the Keelan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and a plethora of running backs, DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, so and Roschon Johnson. So he's gonna have plenty of weapons to go to, and Keenan Allen has proven that he can play, man. He's a baller, as long as he's healthy, of course.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go ahead and say that I was a really happy fantasy manager last year having Keenan Allen on my team. I don't even remember what round I drafted him. I want to say it was maybe 7 or 8. And man, did I get so lucky, and I'm sure everyone else who drafted him kind of late. I never expected him to have the kind of season that he had. Of course, while he was healthy. Once he got hurt and he was struggling with the injury, I could not risk putting him back in my lineup, close to late season, playoffs. But when he was healthy, again, like you said, he's kind of proven to be that consistent veteran. I kind of equivalent him to like a Mike Evans, kind of security blanket. And like you said, if Caleb Williams goes to Chicago, and for any of our listeners who have not seen Caleb Williams' deep ball when he was throwing at USC a few days ago, man, it was effortless from what I saw. I mean, the 70-yard balls that he threw to me were effortless. I don't know if any 70-yard balls are going to go to Keenan Allen, but who knows? Maybe they will. And the reason I chose Higgins is realistically just because of Joe Burrow. I mean,
Course.
you expect them to have a bounce back year. I know for a lot of fantasy managers who had even Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, they were pretty upset last year. I know in one of my main leagues, I had someone who did that combo. They had Joe Burrow and the Ja'Marr Chase, so they didn't have a good year. But what I want to say is, let's go a little bit into the rumor mill, kind of change things up. So
Sure.
rumor mill, for our listeners who may not know, I don't know if it's going to happen. That's why they're called rumors. But if some way, somehow, the miracle of Justin Jefferson ending up in Cincinnati, I don't even know who would draft T. Higgins at that point. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that offense can withstand three receivers if it were to happen?
I think so. The definitely you want to draft Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, my flirt with being the number one quarterback taken, that's for sure. with all those guys there. Like I said, there are rumors, but yeah, I think it could happen there. Obviously none of them are gonna have crazy years or flirt with 2,000 yards a season, but all of them will be obviously 1,200 to 1,500 yards, and like I said, I will definitely go for Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow will definitely rise for sure.
Yeah, if the Cincinnati Bengals pull off that signing, a lot of people are going to be drafting Joe Burrow. But let's go back to reality. Besides him staying in Cincinnati, I think now he has to be solidified as the number two option. We all know Ja'Marr Chase is number one, but you can throw it to Ja'Marr Chase all the time, but realistically, that's not going to happen. So he has to throw it somewhere else. And them losing Joe Mixon, to me, is going to have an impact. You now may not have as good a running game with Zach Moss there, but if they don't have a good running game, then maybe they move with maybe more pass intensive, and I think that's where Higgins and on the games where that defense is focusing on Jamar Chase, because we all know teams like to double team, that may leave Higgins with more opportunities. So that is why the main reason that I have him number one is he's in a place where he has a really good quarterback, and for anyone that is in a PPR league, and for listeners who don't know what PPR is points per reception. Any time that your receiver catches a ball, that's a point. So if he's getting targets per game, if he's getting yards, then I think he could be a pretty good wide receiver too. Now, since we have some time left, let's go back and kind of see where do we think these players are going to be drafted. These are very early rankings. So to me, Samuel, average draft position this upcoming season, I can honestly say round 7 moving forward. What do you think?
I would say so, yeah. 7-ish or later, I think so, for now. And if something happens with Diggs, then he'll rise, but yeah.
And then who's your 5? What do you think he's going to have?
Yes, I had Samuel. Me and you had Samuel.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
So, Ridley, I think that's tougher. I can honestly see him being drafted maybe 5 or later.
Okay. I think he might be late, maybe late 3rd, 4th, or 4th round. I could see going there.
Late 3rd. That's
or the 4th.
Draft some late 3rd. Good luck. Maybe it'll pay off. Not saying that it won't, but it's just me.
Yeah.
So Evans, I think he'll get drafted earlier. I can see him going top 4 rounds, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just because everyone's going to expect that same production, and I don't see why he can't. I mean, you know, you gave him that money, you gave Baker that money, so I don't see why he can't go top 4. Where do you think he might end up?
Yeah, I think, like you said, he'll probably be ahead of Ridley this year, and he'll be like a 4th, the worst. You know, as the draft season starts, you know, picking up and the draft, you know, settles down, you know, maybe he rises to a high 4th, but yeah, a 4th round is a good safe bet for him for now.
All right. Now, Pittman to me is a little tricky. I think he is a definitely has wide receiver 1 upside. So I can see him going round 6 or later. What do you think?
Pittman, he's going to be in the same average with these guys. I think it's going to be more of a factor of how Anthony Richardson's looking back from his injury. That might dictate, you know, how high he rises, you know, after, you know, when training camp starts and OTA start. You know, I think that's what did take that, if, you know, if he rises. But, you know, he'll be in the same area, you know, with these other guys.
So then
for Deontay Johnson, for my guy, he'll probably be behind. Yeah, he'll probably be behind all these guys. I would say probably like a 5th, 6th rounder, more or less.
So the one that interests me on your list, Marquise Brown. I think because he is in Kansas City, I think he could be one of those late round gems. Maybe like 10 and onward.
I think just by him being in Kansas City, he's gonna shoot up a few rounds for sure. Last year when he was with Arizona, he was already he was getting drafted, I think, like in the seventh, eighth round, and that was with those guys. So now, with Kansas City, I could see him being in the fourth. All these guys are pretty much like in the same area to me, It's a matter of preference, when it comes down to it.
All right, so gonna go ahead and wrap things up. Last one, Higgins. I can see probably like you're saying, probably around the same area as these guys. Seven, eight, nine. If all the wide receiver ones are taken, I wouldn't mind drafting Higgins as a wide receiver too. So all in all, I think. Again, these are very early rankings, and me and Leonard had a different approach. So I was just going based off of, where these guys ended up. Leonard was doing kind of anyone that might have changed teams. As we know, we have a lot of new faces on new teams this upcoming NFL season. I just wanted to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. Again, this was focused on wide receiver free agents signings. Leonard, I'll kind of turn it over to you for any last minute closing statements.
Yeah, this was fun, to see. Like I said, it's a different approach. Whether they change teams or not, they're all the guys that we mentioned today were free agents, and some just decided to stay where they were. So, like I said, it's just a different. All of us, like Obi-Wan Kenobi says, that we have a different point of view, right? So. So then, in terms of, if you want to listen, follow me or have any questions, you can reach me on X or Twitter as AKA as it used to be, and that's at Smooth1074. I just finished doing an article at Fighting Chance Fantasy talking about these free agents that we've been discussing. It's called the Free Agency Fallout, and it's on Fighting Chance Fantasy. If you want to check that out, it's there for your enjoyment.
And then to our listeners, we are now available on some major streaming platforms such as Spotify. We're working on getting on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. We're also hosting this on Podbean. So if you want to check us out. Other than that, thank you everyone for tuning in and have a good day.
Peace.